Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in the show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show! Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Burchie. Justin's here.
Hey, everyone.
So we're back from Otakon, and we have some splaining to do.
Yeah, we do.
This show has been off for about 2 weeks, and that was in service of, oh no, we have to get ready for Otakon, and we'll do a live show at Otakon, so that we'll have the audio from that, and then, you know, that'll be a show. And we did do a live show at Otakon, and it was great.
Yeah, that was a really fun show.
We had a lot of fun. We had Bamboo Dong on the panel. We had Hope Chapman on the panel. We had Mike Toole on the panel. We had Daryl Surratt on the panel. We had a full, pretty packed house late at night, so it was nice and a little rowdy. Gave out some real dumb shit and had just a really great time. And huge thanks to everyone who came out for that, because you guys were great. And we just had a lot of fun. And I went over, and after we were done with the audio, jumped off the stage and checked the laptop, and the waveform was flat. And I said, well, you know, sometimes it captures it real low. I just use Levelator and bring the levels all the way up. And nope, it was an empty audio. It was an hour and a half of nothing. It captured nothing. Yeah, so sorry about that. We lost the audio. So that's the official lost episode.
We've never completely lost an episode to a black hole before.
Yeah,
we've lost an episode because, you know, audio has been too janky to use, but we've never just lost it.
Yeah, we've never taped, and then at the end of the recording session said, oh, that didn't record. And if that did happen, we would have just done it over again, but this was not a case where we could have done it over again.
No.
So, sorry about that, and I'm sad about that, because I think it was probably our best live show ever.
Hey, believe me, no one is more bummed out about this than us.
Yeah, so sorry about that. We will try and get all those people on one show. I mean, these are our regulars. So, you know, we'll try and recreate it, I guess, at some point. But, yeah, it was a great time coming out to the East Coast. And I had a feeling like the audiences would be bigger and a little rowdier on the East Coast. And that's what I wanted, and that's what happened. So, yeah, it was a good time. So huge thanks to everyone who came out, and big thanks to everyone who came out to the ANN panel, which was on Friday. And, so Otakon. So how'd you do? How was Otakon?
You know, it was fun, and there were a couple people that I never get to hang out with that I did get to hang out with, which was great. But to be honest, I was suffering con burnout by the end of day one.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I think it was the commute. I think it was the 7-hour flight with
the 7 hours of screaming babies.
Yeah. So, so the four of us, you, myself, Hope and Bamboo, were all on the same plane on the way out and coming back. And, we had a layover in Phoenix, and, the flight to Phoenix is, you know, an hour, so that's nothing. But once you get on that plane to Baltimore, that's four hours and change. And, no less than three screaming babies.
In the immediate vicinity, not like five rows ahead, immediately surrounding us.
No, sitting directly in front of me.
Yeah, the worst one.
Yeah, the worst one was sitting directly in front of me. Poor Hope was going on nothing. She had no sleep, so she was trying to pass out. But for whatever reason, and I don't know what, maybe it's just like U.S. Air or something like that. God, those seats are uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean,
can't get comfortable in them.
They weren't the worst airline seats I've been in. That distinction goes to Spirit Airlines.
Okay.
Who I vowed never ever to fly again, but US Air, not exactly a high-end carrier.
Well, no, of course not, but it has been a really long time since I've flown to the East Coast with good cause. Like, I don't like long plane flights. I don't. No one really does, but for whatever reason, like, if I can avoid it, I will. But we really wanted to all go to Otakon this year because none of us had been. I mean, you went last year, but we hadn't really been in full effect at Otakon. ANN hasn't in years, and this was the 20th anniversary, and we're like, oh, let's make it a thing. Let's go. You know, let's try and turn this into a little bit of a thing. And
the thing was, oh man, I'm getting too old to do these.
Yeah, well, okay, so, like, here's my chief complaint, and I've said this a million times, but I'll say it a millionth time. Otakon needs to be a four-day show. It is, as it stands right now, I consider Otakon to be a two-day convention. Friday and Saturday. Nothing happens on Sunday, ever. This year, so there was the Yoko Kano concert, so we'll get people saying, like, oh, well, that happened, and it's like, I didn't go to that, so, you know, looking at the schedule, there's really nothing for us to cover. Not a whole lot for us to do. We just went home on Sunday. So, 7 hours each way, all that driving, paying for parking costs, all that, it's a huge hassle to get out there. And ultimately, I have to admit, I don't know that it was super worth it. We had a really good time. I'm glad I went. But the commute makes it so that just because it's a two-day show, effectively, if you live on the West Coast, I'm not sure it's totally worth it. Just because the travel time is so long.
Yeah, by the time you get out there and you get yourself acclimated, the con's half over.
Yeah, really. And, like, the first day, the weather was so fucking miserable.
Well, that's just the East Coast.
I was dying on that first day. Like, the humidity was so bad. It cleaned up on Saturday pretty nice.
That was unseasonably nice. Yeah. Like, I've never been to Baltimore where the weather was that nice.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Which was good because I had to walk quite a distance to get to a Verizon store to replace our Wi-Fi router.
Right. Yeah. I gotta say, I do not enjoy the Baltimore Convention Center whatsoever. It is.
No, that place is laid out so badly. And, you know, I've made asides to some of the Otakon guys before, and they're like, oh, it's not that bad. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, the only reason that they don't think it's that bad is because they're so used to it after so many years. But I couldn't.
Well, and they never take the main way. They take what they call the ninja tunnels, which are, you know, all the back alleyways that you can get around easy.
Yeah, right. They don't take the regular attendee ways. It took me something like half an hour just to figure out where Artist Alley was. Like, I was going up, I was going down, I was left, right. Like, it was, I could not find the damn thing.
To get from one end to the other, that one sky bridge is just not enough.
Yeah, I don't know who's brilliant fucking it, because that's relatively new. That Hilton is relatively new. It's only a couple years
old. Oh, that part. Yeah. No, I was referring to the main two halves of the convention center.
Oh, yeah.
Where the only way to get from the first half to the second half is the third floor.
Yep.
That was a bottleneck.
It's a nice bottleneck.
That's to say nothing of the Hilton Bridge.
The Hilton bottleneck. So, that's new. Like, that last time I was at Otakon was, like, 2007, I think.
Yeah, that wasn't there yet.
None of that was there yet. And everyone's like, oh, it's great. Yeah, the hotel's, like, attached to the convention center. You take the Sky Bridge, and it's like, oh, that sounds nice. And so we stayed in that Hilton the first night. And first of all, that Hilton is... it doesn't look like it's only a few years old. It looks like it's 20 years old or 30 years old. It's kind of beat up already, and it's not a very pretty hotel. And the Skybridge connecting it to the convention center is the world's worst bottleneck. So they decided to connect it to the convention center via a single staircase that is smashed into a corner next to an elevator. And there is a gigantic line to get through that bottleneck pretty much at all times of the day. I breezed through it once or twice on Friday and didn't even know it was an issue until Saturday came around. Once Saturday came around, there was a huge milling crowd of people waiting to get through it. And I'm like, wait, what's the problem? Is someone fall down? Is there a problem? Is it, you know, was there an accident? And it's like, nope, just waiting to get up and down this one tiny little staircase. That's the only way to connect the convention center to the Skybridge. Horrible design. Horrible.
Yeah. it was clearly not meant for the volume of people that happens at a convention. It's just not.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But other than that, I mean, the programming was fine.
No, I actually really liked their programming. I sat in on a couple panels. I had a good time.
Yeah,
things actually started and ended on time.
Yeah. Take note, AX. Let people into the room, you know.
Yeah. It is very clear that convention has outgrown that convention space.
Right, and they're moving, so, you know.
They're moving in 4 years.
In 4 years, yeah. Well, maybe that's the next time we'll go back to Otakon. I've never been to Washington, D.C. I want to go to Washington, D.C., so, yeah.
You know, a little part of me says, You know, if I'm still going to anime conventions when I'm 37, and then I don't finish that sentence even mentally, and I then just go, I'm still going to be going to anime conventions when I'm 37.
Hey, look, man, we've been in this too long.
I know, we're lifers.
Yeah, the program was good. They had a lot of really really great guests. We have a bunch of interviews that are going to be going up on the site here before too long. And yeah, I mean, I would say the good outweighed the bad, but traveling from the West Coast means that I ultimately decided, yeah, I'm glad I went this year, but don't think I'm going to go back. I think I'm going to take another couple year break, and we'll head back. I'll head back to the East Coast for a convention sometime in, you know, 2 or 3 years from now.
I'll probably do it again, you know, whenever I get the chance, just because it's the only time I get to see a few people. And I'm not as horrifyingly allergic to East Coast weather as you are.
Oh, my God. Like, I was a fucking wreck the whole time. Like,
I could tell you weren't all that happy.
I was just not happy. It's swear to God. Well, the plane fucking lands in Baltimore, and immediately all the windows just fog up because the humidity is, like, 1,000,000% outside. And all I have to do is step outside, and I just become this, like, sweat elemental. Like, it's just the fucking worst.
You know, I mean, living in L.A. has made me a giant weather pussy. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I mean, I've never enjoyed humidity, but I can tolerate it.
Yeah, I can't. I cannot handle humidity. Also, the phrase giant weather pussy gave me a bizarre mental image that I wish. Anyway, that was Otakon. Have you been watching anything?
No.
No? Really nothing?
No. I have been, like, I've been doing the bare minimum amount of work and then slumping into a corner the entire week. I've watched nothing live action or anime. Nothing.
Wow. Okay. Not even Breaking Bad.
Okay, Breaking Bad.
That was pretty good.
That doesn't count as any, that's just breathing at this point.
Right, yeah.
It's, you're hungry and there is food immediately in front of you and you put it in your mouth. Yeah. That is watching Breaking Bad.
It was good, though. I'm excited.
Oh, I take that back. Okay, so I'm not sure if you ever have this dilemma, but I have actor friends. Mm-hmm. And
ooh, we're a la-di-da, Justin.
That's not a humble brag. That's usually a as much of a liability as it is a blessing.
Sure, okay.
Well, anyway, a friend, really good friend of mine is on this Canadian sitcom that they were hoping would get picked up here and didn't.
Okay.
So in order to watch my friend's show, I've had to torrent each episode, and I'm just watching them. And holy crap. You know, you take shitty American sitcoms for granted. Mm-hmm. You do not know miserable until you've seen a Canadian-produced sitcom.
So is it, you know, typical, like, three-camera?
Well, that's the thing. They don't seem to know what they want to do. And there are, like, writing-wise, there are moments of brilliance. Like, they have good writers on the show. But, first of all the promo material, everything they make for this show looks like it was edited by an intern who hadn't yet gone to film school. Like,
sounds great.
They're cutting blooper reels for YouTube, and, like, there are whole shots you can't hear any dialogue because they just slap music over it. It's like really entry level stuff. I'm like, okay, well, maybe the show itself is better. Show itself, you're hearing dialogue edits. The lighting's really flat. It's not a good show. And, like, I've been trying to talk around what not a good show it is to my friend.
Well, isn't that, you always have to do that, though.
Yeah, and, like, I think he kind of knows it's not very good, but I'm trying not to say that outright, and it's just, like, one of those things where, you know, when a friend has an artistic bent and they're just not good at it, uh-huh, and you don't know what to say, uh-huh, it's not quite that bad, because this guy's genuinely talented, mm-hmm, so I do respect him at least, but,
yeah.
Oh, this show.
No, that's the thing where you pick out the one thing about it that's okay, and you talk about that exclusively.
Wow, I really like that one line you had.
Yeah, right. Then you hope the conversation ends quickly.
Yeah. And like when I tell him, I did tell him early on, I thought I liked it better than I did. And I did tell him that. Mm-hmm. And now he's coming back to me like he didn't believe me.
Oh.
And I'm just like,
he knows.
He knows.
He knows.
I'm so full of shit. I'm going to, and I can't stop watching it either because I feel obligated now.
Yep. Well, dug your own grave on that one.
So yeah, that's what I'm watching, Zach. I'm okay, watching then. Breaking Bad and a friend of mine's terrible sitcom.
Terrible Canadian sitcom. Okay.
Yes.
I did watch some stuff. I watched some Funimation releases. And an Aniplex release. So, we would come back to the hotel room at Otakon at like midnight or 1 a.m. And I don't know if this happened to you while you were there, but we kept doing the thing where it was like, you eat lunch at like 3 p.m. because you've just forgotten to eat since you woke up, and then dinner is at like 1 a.m. Like, that kept happening. But anyway, so we were flipping channels, and the dub of Sword Art Online was on Cartoon Network.
Oh.
And, it's fine, I guess.
No amount of quality dubbing will help that show.
No. No, it will not. No, it will not. But the acting is kind of hammy. It's a little heightened. You know, for an anime dub. The episode that we watched, or the episode that was on, was one of the earlier ones. I think that I didn't realize that show had already started on Adult Swim, but they're like 4 or 5 into it, I think.
Oh.
At this point, I didn't know it'd been on that long. It was okay. I wonder what kind of reception, what kind of ratings that thing's getting. I'm sure we've reported on the ratings for it at some point. But I'm curious to see, A, how the American audience is receiving that show, and B, if they're even going to get to the second season or air it. That would be interesting to me to see. Maybe it'll just go by unnoticed. But seeing it dubbed was kind of like, I don't know. You know, Bangzoom's got to rush those things, right?
I am under the impression that, they have to comply with a lot of licensure requests.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't say. Yeah. So there was that, and all right, so I checked out some Funimation releases, popped in High School DxD.
Now,
I don't know why.
You know what's going to happen.
I know what's going to happen, but I was curious to see, A, what it looked like, and, you know, check out the dub. And, you know, generally, if they send me a pile of screeners before I mail them out to the critics, I pop it in and, you know, take a little tour, just to familiarize myself and say, okay, here's what the dub sounds like, here's what it looks like, you know, just to see the image quality and stuff like that. And, yeah, High School DxD. So the interesting thing about this show is that it is, it's just fan service. Like, that's all there is to it. There's nothing else to that show, at least as far as I could tell. I only watched, like, a few minutes of it. I mean, I reviewed the first episode on a season preview guide many moons ago. But popping it in, it came with a special feature called, Fantasy Jiggles Unleashed. This is a special feature that's on this disc.
So, the subtitle for that is Taking the High Road.
Yeah, pretty much.
With tildes.
Yeah, the show kind of knows, I guess it knows what it is. Yeah. But, I fail to see, once again, like, I am a little bit baffled sometimes by anime fan service because, okay, so every character in the show has gigantic tits, right? That's sort of the gag. And, but at the same time, and so this is the uncensored DVD version, right? So everything's got these sort of grotesque nipples attached to it, but that's it. It's grotesque, and I don't.
Now, how are they grotesque? Are they just malformed, or are they just too big?
Well, so half the screen is typically filled with a circle that's flesh colored, with a little pink colored circle in the middle of it, and at no point do they resemble or move like actual breasts ever. So it's not sexy. It's just weird.
If you had never touched a breast and you didn't really know how they moved, would that fix it?
Maybe that would make it better. I don't know. I don't think it's not like hot or anything. It's just kind of off-putting. Like these weird, like hyper-sexualized cartoon characters that don't resemble real women at all, like in any way, shape, or form. Like the barest silhouette is there. Like, yeah, okay, that looks like a human woman, but that's it. Like, other than that, there's no shading on anything. And a lot of these shows, you know what I'm talking about. Like, there's no shading.
Oh, yeah, it's basically just line art.
Yeah, it's this flat flesh texture. It's just gross and weird. It's like, who gets off on this stuff? I guess I know who. But it's just, anyway. That drove me to distraction. Because there's nothing else to the show. It's just tits. So, you're sitting here staring at these flesh-colored circles for however many minutes. That's all I can think about. So then I popped in the Funimation Dragon Ball Z Rock the Dragon Edition box set. So this is, they tried like NISA style packaging on this one. So it's like a big book, except the discs are in the book. So it's like,
oh, I've seen those. Yeah. Sort of like what, I think it was Warner Brothers used to do that for a while, where they had...
Yeah, if anyone bought the original Blu-ray release of the Planet of the Apes franchise, it came in a book like that.
Okay.
It's a landscape format book that the back pages are all the discs and the front part is a book. But this is the original Ocean dub. This is what aired after school in syndication that turned Dragon Ball Z into this big phenomenon. And the whole point is to rope in that nostalgia crowd. And that's right. Exactly what they're trying to do. If I were them, I would have figured out a way to license, like, the commercials and stuff.
that would be way more more effort than it's worth.
Of course. I'm talking pie in the sky. But, like, that would be ultimate if they actually got all the commercials and, like, all that shit. But this is the original episodes in their original broadcast quality, which means these DVDs look like garbage.
One-inch masters.
Yeah, real, real bad. They're the kind of DVDs where the image quality is basically like something is so artifacted that the only like so you'll have like a cartoon character's face and their mouth is moving and you can kind of see the edges of the artifacts around the one part of their face that's moving. The rest of it is a still image. But it's all really heavily artifacted and fucked up and green.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that...
It looks like shit. Like, shit. But that was the intention. Like, it's supposed to be... I feel like these are meant to be watched on a CRT television. that's, like, watching it on a flat screen does not do it justice. It is a blatant nostalgia cash grab.
There's and you know no what? Other the people reason. That want it, and I'll bet there's plenty.
Yeah, I bet there's plenty. I had no particular attachment to that. I mean, I think I saw a few episodes of Dragon Ball Z after school, but I was in high school at that point, so whatever. It's a neat idea. I hope it made them some money, I guess. But it looks like shit. It sounds like shit. Hopefully the Dragon Ball Z fans that really just want that pure strain nostalgia experience will get what they want out of it. But
well, they're getting a pure strain of something.
Yeah. So finally, the other thing I watched was the dub of Lupin the Third, woman called Fujiko Mine.
I saw you tweeting about this last night.
Yeah, I don't like the dub.
No, doesn't work, huh?
No, I don't think so. I think the aesthetic of that show is so specific that, A, it kind of works best in Japanese.
Right.
But B, the voices are all too clean. Sonny Strait plays Lupin, and he sounds like a teenager, and it doesn't work. Lupin on that show is real scuzzy and, like, dirty and kind of grimy, and that's the way the whole show looks.
Well, he is a criminal.
Yeah, right, sure, but there are... But you know what I'm talking about. Like, that show, the depiction of Lupin is not this goofy, you know, sort of wacky cartoon character type. He's a little bit scuzzier.
Yeah, and he's kind of the anti-Miyazaki Lupin.
Exactly, yes. And the voice is super clean teenager sounding. And it's like, okay, this doesn't work at all. And most of the voices, they all sound too clean. And I don't know, I feel like it just needed grit. It needs more grit to it.
That's always been a problem with some of the grimier Lupin stuff. Like Mystery of Mamo, for example, I always thought that everyone sounded too clean in that. And it sounded a little too cartoony because, you know... Then they're shooting up a busy cafe.
Right, yeah. Yeah, right, except this, you know, the Koike one is literally very grimy-looking show. Like, the show looks dirty. It reminds me a little of, like, Goggle 13 The Professional, a little bit, in some parts. That level of grime. And the dub is super clean, anime, voice actor-sounding stuff, and I don't think it really functions.
I wonder if Funimation, like, in their stable of every usable actor working in Texas, if they even have anyone who sounds like that.
It sounds like they've been smoking for at least 10 years.
Yeah, because, like, that's kind of a bygone era.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of those actors have come up in the last, you know, decade or so. They're not going to be part of the, you know, the 1970s, everyone chain smoked to make their voice lower so they could maybe do radio. That didn't happen in that era.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, well, and the unfortunate result of that is super clean-sounding dub for a show that needs some grit. But the Japanese is a little gritty. It's not perfect or anything, but it's definitely better than the English, I would say. The show looks great. It's a nice set. They put plenty of extras on there. The packaging's really nice. Definitely worth getting, and I really do like that show a lot. Upon rewatching a couple episodes of it, it's like, this is a pretty damn good show. Check it out. Maybe skip the dub. But that does it for me. I haven't been to the movies in a little while.
No, we're in the ass end of summer movie wise.
Yeah, nothing's really grabbing me. I was kind of looking forward to Elysium, but everyone says it blows.
I've not heard a single positive review of Elysium.
Yeah, no, everyone says like, wow, what a huge disappointment. It's like, okay, well, all right.
Yeah, one friend of mine is like, wow, I was expecting something political from Neil Blomkamp. I wasn't expecting it to be exactly dealing with Hispanic minority or the poor Hispanic people in Los Angeles not being able to get health care.
Mm. Interesting. Well, apparently not interesting. Apparently it's totally right. Falls flat on its face. And it's not even – that's what I've heard is that, oh, it's not even interesting politically. It's like, well, then why am I wasting my time with this? I don't know.
Well, what about the American healthcare system hasn't been run to the ground in the last 6 years?
Yeah, there you go.
You know.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get to Twitter. We got plenty of Twitter questions here. Hazukari asks, favorite Otakon moment or favorite cosplay you guys saw? I mean, honestly, doing that live show was my favorite. That was great.
That was really great. I think my favorite was getting to finally catch up with old buddy of mine, Shin Kurokawa, formerly of Animego. And he's been through a rough couple of years, but he's still a great guy, still a whole lot of fun to talk to. He says he wants to come on the show, so we'll, you know, I'll try to make that happen.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd love to do an Animego show. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but he, great, still a top-notch guy. I really hope we can get him on.
I have to admit, I say this every time, but I don't, my eyes glaze over at cosplay. I don't see the costumes.
After you've been doing this for X number of years and it's your job, you just, you know, you become tunnel vision. Can I get to my panel in time?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to get past all these people. Will say that.
Stop taking photos.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, so I did get talked to sternly at while I was walking through the convention center because I was trying to get to the Sunrise panel, which was a Sunrise panel, you know, where they say like, oh, have you guys heard of Tiger and Bunny? And then they show a Tiger and Bunny trailer and you're like, could you please just get to your announcements already?
Yeah.
I was trying to get there and a big group of people taking photos had literally stopped right in front of the escalator to go up to the third floor.
That's fucking obnoxious.
And they were taking pictures of fucking Deadpool cosplay. And I said out loud, quite loud, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me, guys, right in front of the escalator. And somebody goes, hey, calm down, man. And I wanted to turn around and fucking punch him in the face. Fuck you. Like, I just walk through people's photos.
Yeah, at this point, it's just like, when you're blocking the only reasonable throughway in an insanely crowded convention center, that's your fault.
Yeah, not only is it your fault, but hey, buddy, no one wants to see your, like, shitty, blurry iPhone cosplay photos. No one.
You're not going to look at that again after it scrolls past however much of your photo stream that is available.
Yeah, it's fuck you, you're in my way, and no one cares about your stupid cosplay photos. Fuck you, fuck this. It's just really, just had it with it.
You know, there are times where you wish you were the guys from that movie Scanners.
Sure, right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, cosplay's great and all, but I've been to, you know, 15 years worth of conventions. I don't really see it that much anymore. Unless it's like some huge, really super mega elaborate thing. But I did notice, the one thing I did notice was a lot of free cosplay, which isn't really cosplay, it's just a dude in a Speedo.
I saw some at, I feel like I saw more at AX.
The weather out here is a little bit more conducive to it, I guess, but
I don't know. I would think there would be more skin showing at Otakon, but I'm very grateful there wasn't.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's one thing to see a lot of skin in Los Angeles because, you know, Los Angeles.
Right.
Baltimore, not where you go for the pretty people. Just not.
Oh, come on. Wow, you're gonna take some shit for that. I'm not editing that out.
Oh, come on. This is a known thing. Nobody goes to Baltimore to look at people in bikinis.
I guess that's true. I guess you can't be faulted for that basic statement. Okay, Big on Anime asks, what Bandai Sunrise Rescues surprised you, both in terms of what got picked up and what didn't get picked up? I mean, that bone's been picked clean at this point. Like, there's not much left.
I'm a little surprised no one took Planetus.
I mean, are you surprised by that? I mean,
well, considering what else got picked up mostly by Sentai.
Yeah, Sentai seems to have gotten kind of the dregs.
I mean, wow, they got Kurokami.
Kurokami, Argento.
No one likes Kurokami.
Argento Soma, Scryde, Brain Powered. Yeah.
Brain Powered, I can't. First of all, I don't know if that got a remaster in Japan, but if it didn't, that show looks like ass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the last super grainy, quick return, shot on 16mm films, TV shows. And it has an amazing soundtrack that just steps on entirely, and it just made me rate. I couldn't make it through a whole episode because it made me want to throw shit.
Yeah, that's Tomino Join, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Tomino going, you think Evangelion's cool? Well, I can beat that.
No, you can't. That's the one where they crawl into the robots through the dick, right? Like, the cockpit is literally a cockpit. That's what they're doing. That's what I remember about that show.
You know, it's been a few years, but I think I would remember that.
Yeah, they pilot it from the crotch. That's the brain-powered thing, I think.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure I'm remembering that right, but the forums will let us know.
Yep.
okay. Yeah, I wasn't really. I mean, it's neat. It's good that all that stuff got picked up. Good for them. Funimation got all the good stuff. I know everyone's like, oh, Big O, Big O. I was never that into the Big O, so I don't really care about the Big O. But Sentai didn't really get anything that I was super excited about.
No, but they did get a few things that, like, people might have overlooked.
Sure, Infinite Reviews. So,
that show was acceptable if you ignored the ridiculous hip-hop soundtrack that completely doesn't fit with high-concept sci-fi.
Yeah, actually, speaking of the stuff that got picked up, or license rescued, rather, Funimation picked up Cowboy Bebop, and they're going to put out the Blu-rays, and there was a very, very nice man at our live show who gave both you and I the UK Blu-rays of Cowboy Bebop.
I didn't get his name, did you?
I did not, and if you are listening to this, please let us know so we can thank you publicly by name.
Yeah, but, because you're pretty much the best person
ever.
Yeah,
you're a pretty great dude for doing that. And did you take a look at them? I did.
I did. How could I not?
They look really, really good.
They do.
I think that show looks fantastic on Blu-ray, and I'm hoping Funimation's version of it looks as good as these do, because they look great.
Yeah, they look great, and they are interlaced, but I think they're just going to have to be interlaced because of the CG scenes.
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's just like the cell art looks all so clean. Like, it all looks really, really clean. Some digital stuff doesn't work quite so well, like, you know, awkward shots of spaceships in some moments, and the reds are a little saturated, but
There are some things that they just, you know, didn't know how to do well yet back then.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, it's a real, it looks real, real good. And I hope Funimation's set looks as good as these do.
You know what's funny? I've been working on the reissue of Blue Sub number 6, mm-hmm. which was the same era. Mm-hmm. And the show itself, like, you know, it's early Gonzo Digipaint, so, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. But what really struck me are the special features mm-hmm. for that. Holy crap. That was – I didn't really remember. That was the I'm drunk on this little mini DV camera era.
Okay.
There are literal shots where they have the, you know, cute girl host sitting on a stool, like, surrounded by this, you know, terrible Disneyland sort of, you know, I'm underwater lighting. Mm-hmm. And they're literally, like, playing airplane with the camera and won't hold it still, just tilting it in every direction and trying all these really, really grotesquely overwrought shots and lighting effects. And you're just like, stop moving the camera. It's just like, wow, you forget just how much, either how much the visual aesthetic changes over time, or just how shitty things were back then when everyone was drunk on new technology.
Yeah. Wow. Blue Sub number 6. God. Completely forgot that existed. All right. Also from Big on Anime, do you feel that outside of license rescues, Otakon announcements were very underwhelming for newer stuff? Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, the big announcement was, hey, someone picked up Cowboy Bebop. you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it says something about the state of the industry when people are most excited about the re-releases of shows that are 15 years old.
Sure. I think people were expecting there to be more in terms of, like, you know, new shows getting picked up, but, I mean, AX was just a tidal wave of that stuff, so, you know, these contracts aren't infinite. It's not like people have an infinite number of new things to announce. I was a little surprised Sentai didn't announce anything at all, aside from the Bandai stuff, and they didn't even announce that. Sunrise did. So,
They just bought all those old Tatsunoko shows. They're going to have to... Yeah. They have a backlog.
Figure out how to make money on it, yeah.
Right.
Frankly, going into any convention being like, you know, who won the convention with their announcements? Like, that just seems really silly to me. I don't expect every convention to be like this. Oh, amazing license announcements, but whatever.
It's funny how anime fans treat the companies as if they're like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, a little
bit. Exact same mindsets. Like, who won the night Oscar night for fashion?
Yeah, God, Jesus. All right, who is friend asks? Thoughts on Little Witch Academia event failure in Japan, and what does it mean for anime funded by English speakers? I think it's a little overblown. Basically, they tried to have a live event for this thing, and they didn't sell enough tickets, so they canceled it. Happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, there have been plenty of promotional events in Japan that they actually just have it and no one shows up, and it's really embarrassing. That happens all the time.
Yeah, this Little Witch Academia thing has been turning into a bit of a... it's a little bit of a to-do. I've noticed that there's a lot of... Like, the super hardcore American otaku who really, really desperately want to be Japanese otaku have decided that they don't like it. They don't like that show because Westerners are funding it. It's mostly Westerners funding this. This is something only Westerners like, and the pure Japanese don't like it, and they're pure, so, you know, that kind of shit. That's
well, given the sort of anime they like, yeah. I'm not sure pure is the word I'd use.
Yeah, exactly. But they're like, oh, it looks like American cartoons, and it's like, eh, fuck you. Like, God, can't you just be a fan of animation? Like, why does it have to be the stupid purity test?
Line in the sand, Zach.
Yeah, right. That is so lame. Like, that is just so lame. I will admit, I don't get the hype about Little Witch Academia. I thought it was...
I don't either. I mean, it's...
I didn't think it was anything particularly special. I thought the animation was nice, but other than that, it was a pretty hacky premise, executed in a pretty hacky way. Wasn't anything wrong with it. It was just like, okay, that's kind of neat, I guess. But people were like, wow! And it's like, really? This? Okay. Good for them on getting their funding, and, you know, I'm glad that another episode will come out, and the people who want more will get more because of the crowdfunding, and that's great, but, a lot of stupidity around that.
So far, a lot of the Anime Mirai stuff has been fairly forgettable fare.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's like they've been greenlighting these concepts, but they've all been, you know, really hacky on original concepts.
Yep. It's weird because it's like, we're going to do this thing where, you know, the entire idea is to promote, you know, original concepts and, you know, draw out the real creative stuff. And ultimately what you get is really safe, rehashy type stuff. Like, oh, this will sell. That's what you wind up getting.
It is a government-funded program.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool Japan, Zach.
Cool Japan. Wayno 1 asks, how long did it take you after getting in Baltimore to go, uh-oh, East Coast? About 2 seconds. I think literally the plane landed and they opened the door and the humidity came rushing in and it was like, oh, God. Oh, God.
Honestly, I still like the East Coast. And, you know, some of the food there you really can't get here. There's a feeling I get that I do miss, and I'm going to New York for a week in October, and I can't wait because I really do miss that sometimes. Wouldn't live there again, not anytime soon at least, but
yeah,
I do miss it.
It's great to visit. I love visiting the East Coast. I just don't want to live there.
And you don't want to visit in the dead of summer.
And I don't want to visit in the dead of summer, and I don't want to go to Baltimore.
Well, there's sucks. That whole thing.
I don't like Baltimore. New York City... I mean, come on. Like, the night and fucking day difference between New York City and Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, I okay, fair enough. I miss New York, and enough about Baltimore reminded me of New York to make me a little missing of New York.
Okay. Let's see. Champion 10 asks, has there been an anime that made you crave a particular food? And or is there a food you can't not associate with an anime?
Actually, this is terrible, but Spirited Away makes me really hungry.
Really?
The opening shots of the parents going nuts, though, that, like, I just kind of project, and I'm like, I wish I were those parents.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's plenty of food that when you see it first in an anime and then you have it, you kind of associate it with that anime. I think a lot of that's faded over time, and now I'm just so used to most of that food that I don't remember what anime I associated it with. I'm trying to think if there's, like, a specific example.
Bartender really made me want those cocktails.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing comes to mind immediately, but I know there are examples of this. I just
For the most part, 2D animated depictions of food just don't make you salivate like a actual food porn photo, and we're inundated with food porn, so
yeah, exactly. Okay, Zandra asks, any thoughts on Otakon being like TwitterCon? Don't know who you follow, but my Twitter feed was insane during Otakon. People seem to be really excited to meet people that they've only talked to on Twitter, and I didn't notice this at all during Anime Expo. I wonder what was different about Otakon. I think it's just that I said this during our live show, and I meant it. I do think anime fandom largely lives on the East Coast. I think our fans are largely on the East Coast. I think a lot of the people that I interact with on Twitter that are fans are on the East Coast. And I met plenty of people at Otakon that I had only ever talked to on Twitter. And it was nice. And I think there's an element of truth to what she's saying. It was a little bit like TwitterCon.
Yeah, I had a lot of people introduce themselves to me as so-and-so on Twitter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, had that happen plenty of times. I think the fandom out there is a little bit more potent and a little bit more...
excited.
Excited, and yes, exactly, and still focused on anime, and I definitely think that it's all just a little bit more heightened out there. It's all a little bit more intense.
We don't get out there as much, and you know we've done live ancasts at AX for several years now. Over there, I wonder just how much of that is A, it's special, and B, we never get out there.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
I wonder if we'd have the same reaction if we ever went to ASEN.
Who knows? I have no idea. But
I've still never been to ASEN.
I've never been to ASEN either. I don't know that I'll ever go, but. Let's see here. No, but I really enjoyed meeting people from Twitter that I had only really interacted with on Twitter, and definitely that was a thing. Way more heightened than it was at AX, for sure.
Yeah.
But we go to AX over here, so it's like, you know. Yeah, anyway. Peter Barton 89 asks, any movies coming out later in the year you're looking forward to? I'm thinking of seeing Saving Mr. Banks. I want to see that. I think it looks neat. But
yeah, it could be good.
In terms of prestige releases this year, it's still a little early. We haven't.
Yeah, I'm not hearing all that much buzz on anything yet.
We haven't got. Well, yeah, and that won't really start happening until like October. So we're a couple of months out from the prestige season here.
Yeah.
Red Train Claire asks, what are you looking forward to the most, Kill la Kill or Space Dandy? I have not looked at any of the promotional stuff for Kill la Kill yet.
I haven't either. Space Dandy could really go either way for me.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
I saw the promo. I was actually at the Watanabe panel where they announced it.
Yeah.
And they showed a lot of artwork and teased a lot of stuff. The problem is, like, they really genuinely seemed like they thought they were being, like, really kind of edgy with, you know, parodying space operas. And I'm sorry, almost all of the ground that they covered was done very, very slightly less tongue-in-cheek in the 80s by Cobra.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are some new spins on a few things, like the main character buys his little robot pal at a scrapyard thinking he's getting R2-D2, and he ends up getting what they described as something close to a Roomba.
Okay.
So, like, there's little things like that, but, I don't know, anime comedy is just it's so hard to pull off. I mean, if anyone can pull it off, it's Watanabe, but I don't know, a little worried.
I'll withhold my judgment until I actually get to see an episode of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I'll give it a shot no matter what, because it's Watanabe, so we'll see.
It does not look like Redline, though. Somebody told me it looks just like Redline. No, it doesn't.
Okay. Sternifunken asks, what's the best DVD, Blu-ray you bought without knowing what it was beforehand, anime or otherwise? That almost never happens.
Yeah,
I don't blind buy.
DVD Blu-rays are pretty much reserved for... who blind buys anymore?
I don't know. Not me.
You get burned so much doing that. Actually, no, I take that back. I blind bought... does it count as blind buying when you're buying it based on friends' recommendations?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that doesn't... No, forget it.
Like not knowing what it was. Like,
right.
I've never, like, dug through a bargain bin and found something. What is this? I'll take it home. And then turns out it was great. That's... No.
Only time I did that was my short-lived dollar store DVD binge.
Right. Yeah. But even then, I doubt any of that stuff he brought back was like, this is great. Like...
No. Well, okay, there was that one made-for-TV Sarah Jessica Parker movie. Somewhere Tomorrow. Then Media Blasters re-released it.
Mr. The Animatist asks, following the backlash against Flyers of Evil a while ago, do you think there's any future for more artistic anime titles, or are we see them die completely? Well, that's an either-or black-and-white situation that doesn't exist. Of course we're going to see more artistic anime titles. Just because Flyers of Evil had some backlash to it doesn't mean, well, that ends the artistic anime thing.
Like, never again.
Yeah, never
again. We're just going to stop trying.
The King of Japan says no more artsy anime ever. Of course not. Come on. That would be like saying, oh, that superhero movie didn't do very well. Are we never going to make superhero movies again? No.
Well, different situation. Different, that's all Hollywood knows how to do anymore.
Sure, right. But you know what I mean.
Right.
Jaron Nemanich asks, best line con or best line con? I will say, Otakon has a line problem. Like,
they just don't have anywhere to put them is the problem.
Why is there a line to get into the dealer's room at all times of the day? That is ridiculous. There should not be a line for the dealer's room all day. That's stupid. Ugh. Anyway. That's where you go to kill time. That's where you go when you don't want to wait in any lines. All right. Vinny Av AGC asks, does Sentai have a secret plan for those Sunrise rescues that will make sense someday? I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah. Well, when they sell 35,000 units of Scribe, you'll see.
I'd be shocked if Bandai sold 35,000 units of Stride in total with as singles.
They didn't sell 35,000 units of Stride, period. Like, across the entire release, I'm sure. Also asks, what is pit beef?
I'm still not entirely sure. All I know is that it's slow-cooked beef, and it was on a sandwich, and it is delightful.
Oh, so it's just slow-cooked, that's it?
Yeah, I mean, like, the place was called Pit Beef, but I actually had, come to think of it, very little beef, because I had a sandwich that was beef, sausage, like, pastrami, and, like, two other things, and then a side of barbecued ribs and chicken.
Okay.
And all I know is that I would fill a bathtub with that stuff and sit in it.
Okay. Now, so I think I've seen this on TV before, where it's like a really big barbecue grill.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. And you know, it's a barbecue pit, essentially. Yeah. So it's just this, you know, slow cooked over coals sort of thing, and it's delightful. And the place that we went, Chap's Pit Beef, it's been on Tony Bourdain, it's been on Andrew Zimmern, it's been on Guy Fieri, which made me almost turn around.
Right.
But it's you know, it's this little tiny place in the parking lot of a strip club, a completely empty looking strip club, and I'm told it's not in a great part of town. I was told go there when it's light out,
which you then proceeded to not do.
No, we did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. By the time we left, it was getting dark, but, you know, it wasn't dark yet. And it was so good. It was so good.
All right, then. Okay, Abunaz3R says, Zoro anime replaces the traditionally swarthy hero with the most Aryan man ever. Can you think of any hilariously racist anime? Well, of course.
All of it.
A lot of it is. That's what you get when you have films produced by a homogenous nation. they don't mean to be, but they certainly are. Sometimes they do mean to be. Yeah, there's plenty of racist anime. Pick one that has a black character in it. It's probably kind of racist.
But my favorite is, like, you can always tell the racist American character because he has a shirt with a big star on it.
Yeah. Let's see here. Also asks, just saw Only God Forgives. Thought the film at a script level was indistinguishable from a 70s exploitation movie. Agree or disagree? I haven't seen this yet. I feel kind of bad about that.
I haven't either.
Yeah. Sorry. We'll get to it.
Yep.
Okay. Horseman asks, now that Anime Souls has had a couple of successes, can you have Sam back on and discuss what did and didn't work? I am sure Sam would love to come back on, and we would love to have him. So
yeah. I actually, I didn't like any of the first run of shows enough to throw money behind, but they just put up Dear Brother, and yeah, I want me some of that. So I pledged that.
That's already getting pretty close, right?
Is it? I haven't checked recently. I hope so.
I know that within the first 24 hours, I think it was up to like 30% of its funding, which is really good for...
Wow.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, Fig Newton asks, any clue if the Berserk films are doing well enough to continue with further story arcs? I don't know. I don't really know how those did. I know they sell pretty well for Viz. We had Viz people on just a little while ago, and they said that they were selling really well, so... we'll see. I don't know. I hope if they do make more that they stop with the really awkward kind of shitty CG, because it kind of wrecks it for me. The 2D stuff is really nice in those films, but the 3D stuff just looks so jarring and bad. Also from Abin S3R, why all the hate for Pompoko, Zach? Do whimsy and lovingly animated testicles have no effect on your dark and cynical heart? No, they don't. I don't like Pompoko. It's boring, and it's like four or five hours long.
You're a terrible human being.
I know. I know that. You don't got to tell me that. again, from Abin S3R, for Justin, what's a reference quality Blu-ray mean? And what's the worst Blu-ray you've seen?
A reference quality Blu-ray looks like the... a really good one? I don't really understand the question. I mean, reference quality just means it's really, really good. It looks as good as the format can get, and a lot of discs look that good. But, you know, as far as reference quality, it's like, what are you referencing exactly? I know what Blu-ray can look like. It looks just like the master tape. Worst Blu-ray I've seen?
He says, I'm talking Interstellar 5555 bad. Yeah, that's probably the worst. At least that's maybe the worst anime Blu-ray I've seen.
Yeah, as far as upscales, that's definitely the worst one. Yeah. Like, I can't believe that got released.
God, that's such a fucking shame.
Yeah, that's bad. I just, wow.
Yeah.
As far as non-upscales, probably the second season of Penguin Drum's the worst I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Colorful comes a close second, but second box of Penguin Drum looks rough. I'm still really unhappy with that. Yeah.
All right. Scotty415 asks, did either of you guys contribute to the Little Witch Academia 2 Kickstarter fund? No, I did not.
Nope. I did. I've done every other anime Kickstarter, but not that one.
CTR, bunch of numbers, asks, has Justin seen the Pat Labor Blu-ray TV discs yet? And is the quality as good as the OVAs?
I have not. And I hope it is, because those OVAs look pretty good. Are they out yet?
Yeah, they're out.
Really? Because I swung by the Sentai booth at Otakon. They didn't have any.
I mean, I've seen people posting screen caps and stuff. I mean, maybe those are screeners, but I'm pretty sure it's out.
Oh. Well, I guess I better get on that.
Yeah. Go buy it. Okay. Land of Obscusion asks, Otakon Vegas announced that they'd be featuring sumo at the convention. Can that appeal to anime fans, or is it too non-anime? Of course it could appeal to anime fans. Who wouldn't? I mean, I'm going to see that. I've never seen that live and in person before.
Yeah.
Too non-anime. It's an anime convention. Half of it's non-anime. All right. Finally, some questions here from Paul Bremer. He asks, are there any other lost episodes of Ancast besides the live at Otakon 20 and the Ben Ettinger episode? No.
That's it.
Also asks, have you noticed any demographic differences between the crowds at Otakon and AX? Yes. Yes.
There are, like, different countries, except they speak the same language.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Yep. Otakon is a lot rowdier.
Lot more Asians at AX.
Yeah.
Just because it's California.
Yeah, it's Southern California, so, sure.
Yep.
It's noisier, it's pushier, it's shovier, it's, or Otakon is, anyway. It's much more crowded and cramped. I feel like I don't really get smashed in a sea of humanity at AX like I did at Otakon.
There's plenty of seas of humanity at AX.
There are, but mostly in the dealer's room at peak hours.
Yeah, that's true.
But at Otakon, just walking through the convention center, you get smashed in.
It's so crowded.
Yeah. Let's see. Also, what do Japanese guests at conventions do outside of official events and press interviews?
They go to touristy things, really.
They go to touristy things. They get taken out for fancy meals. They get taken to special places. Like, you know, the best of Baltimore is kind of what they wind up seeing.
Yep.
Or the best of whatever city they're in. Let's see here. I know that at Baltimore this year on the Thursday evening there was a Justin Timberlake... That tour was in town that night, and it was playing the stadium, I think.
Yeah, we were out to dinner and got caught in the outflow of traffic.
Yeah, and I know plenty of the Japanese guests for Otakon were attending.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hey, shit, I would have gone.
I would not have, but I'm much more a music snob than you are.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
And snob in general.
Yeah. Let's see here. Funimation's rescued... finally, last question. Funimation's rescued Bandai titles include good shows with very bad dubs, like Crest of the Stars and Escaflowne. Is there even a remote chance to record new dubs for any of these, or would that defeat the purpose?
I highly, highly, highly doubt it.
I really doubt they'll spend the money. I wish they would. Escaflowne could use a good dub. That dub sucks.
That's not a good dub, yeah. I mean... And Chris of the Stars is never going to sell enough to justify it. Escaflowne might, but it's still not worth it.
I would imagine Crest of the Stars is going to come out in one box with everything in it.
Probably.
I can't imagine, because those are only 13 episodes, I think, each. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll go directly to Save.
Yeah, sure, right. Crest of the Stars. Ugh, I was never a fan of that show.
Lots of expository dialogue in that show.
Too much lore and too much exposition, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Light novels, what do you want? Anyway, yep. Anyway, that wraps us up. Thanks for coming on, and we will be back to our normal schedule and normal interviews and stuff like that next week, so look forward to it. Okay, that's our show. Thanks for being patient during the hiatus. We'll be back to normal next week. The theme song is called Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a little rating or review. We'd really appreciate it, and we'll see you all next week.